Okay. Well, I'm still congested. I think it's just, we probably place bets on it at this point, but this is just no fun. But I will try not to cough super loud into my microphone. And if I do, please just, cover your ears and don't throw stuff at me. It will be loud if it happens, so sorry. We started a new series last week called Blessed Beyond Measure. Now, this is a Thanksgiving-themed series, and as we move toward November, we want to get our focus on gratitude. And the point of this series is to cultivate more gratitude for all the blessings that we take for granted. So last week, we talked about how we don't all share the same blessings, right? We're blessed with different gifts, different financial situations. We're all different, but we are blessed in some areas all in common. And so we talked about last week the blessing of salvation. Now, this week, we're going to talk about the blessing of relationship. Now, relationship is something that we have all been blessed with, whether we're taking advantage of that or not, but we have all been blessed with relationships. And relationships are a huge part of life. Some may argue they're the most important part of life. Relationships are a big part of what makes us human. Now, we need friendships, we need family, and we need community. And we'll talk about why here in just a minute. But before that, have you ever been dumped? Broken up with? Yeah. I saw a couple people go, huh? Have you ever been broken up with before? Maybe not. Maybe you've always been the one that's broken up with somebody. But maybe a friendship has ended. The point is that it hurts. And there's a reason that it hurts. It hurts so bad because of our need for relationships. When we're at odds with people, especially people who are close to us, it makes us uneasy. When we're estranged from our family, it doesn't feel right. When we're in conflict with our coworkers, it's awkward. The reason for this friction and tension that we feel when relationships are out of sorts is because God created us to be in relationship with one another. And this is a blessing. Now, when I say this, don't confuse this with romantic relationships, right? That's not what we're talking about. It's a small part of it, but that's not really what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about how we live in relation to others, or how we live in community. And so I asked ChatGPT, have you ever used ChatGPT yet? It's crazy. It's crazy what it'll spit out at you. Anyway, I asked it to give me some statistics on the importance of relationships, and it spit out a lot of stuff, but here's some of the highlights that I think you'll find interesting. It said, having close family and friends or community ties increase lifespan by 26%. It also said, in an 80-year study conducted by Harvard University, they found that close relationships, more than money, more than fame, are what keep people happy throughout their lives. Strong social support slows down biological aging. Adults with the most supportive relationships were found to be aging more slowly than those who lack relationships. That's crazy, huh? Physical consequences for that. The World Health Organization reports that loneliness is linked to an estimated 871,000 deaths per year globally. Loneliness or social isolation is associated with higher risks of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, cognitive decline, and other health problems. And the quality of relationships matter. Toxic or high-conflict relationships can also cause harm. Now, these statistics suggest that our relationship with friends and family and others, or relationship with supporting community or a faith community or both, they matter. Good relationships are not just nice extras. They are fundamental to mental and physical and relational health. So there's a reason that all these studies led by all these secular institutions are finding that relationships matter so much. The reason is that God set it up that way. You see, we are made in the image of God in every way, and God himself exists in community. Father, Son, and Spirit. So God at his core is love in community. And we are made in that image. So it's no wonder we feel so out of whack when our relationships are in conflict. Now, what I want us to realize today is what a blessing we all have in the gift of relationship. And spoiler alert, we're going to turn to Scripture to do that. I hope you're okay with that. We're going to cover John 15, verses 1 through 17, and I'm sure you're going to find this passage very familiar. I know I've probably preached it a couple times in the last 6 or 7 years, but it lays out a really cool process for God's plan for relationships, not just with God, but with others. So we're going to start with this first part of the process that I'm calling the source. And my clicker. Corinne, I might just rely on you. It's pretty simple from here on out. So the first part is called the source. Now this is verses 1 through 5. Are we frozen? Of course we are. All right. Thank you, Austin. Way to fill in the gaps. I just saw Lawrence run across the balcony, so it'll be back in just a second, I'm sure. So if you're there we are, it's on the screen. John 15, verses 1 through 5, we're calling this section the source. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. All right, so right out of the gate, the very first and most important part of relationship that we are blessed with is our relationship with our Creator. This is by far the most important relationship you can have. Why? Well, this relationship transcends all others. Let's say you're kayaking in the ocean, and this is a terrifying scenario, but here we go. You're kayaking in the ocean, the current takes you away, and you land on an uninhabited island. Guess who you can still be in relationship with? God, right? Your relationship with God is not dependent upon anyone or anything else in this world. Also, God being the creator of everything, who at his core is loving relationship, he is therefore the source of all relationships. So in order for any other relationship to be in order and healthy, your relationship with God needs to be in order and healthy. Now that's sort of a tough pill to swallow because there's people all over the world with relationships that aren't in right relationship with God. And that's true, but I would argue, and I think the scripture would too, that if you are not first in relationship with God, then you will struggle to live in the kind of community that God intends for you to live in. Think of it like this. You guys all have a cell phone? All right, cool. Much mad respect if you don't. That's awesome in this day and age. Your cell phone, if you take it out of your pocket, see, the screen comes on. I don't even have to touch it. It's just like, hey, here I am. It looks fine. It operates. It does what it's supposed to do. But if I keep using this phone all day, at the end of the day, what happens? It dies, especially mine. Mine's like 3 years old now. It dies by the end of the day. It needs charged. It needs plugged into a power source. Even though the phone looks how it's supposed to look and functions how it's supposed to function, without being plugged into a source, it will die. Jesus is the source of all of our relationships. Now, this is where the phone charger analogy kind of falls apart, because Jesus says we are a branch and a vine relationship, right? Always connected. The vine doesn't unplug from the branch. He even goes as far as to say in verse 5 that we can do nothing apart from him. So, just like a vine and a branch, any growth in any relationship with God or with others is going to depend on Jesus for that growth. Or in other words, our relationships with people will always struggle if our relationship with God is disconnected. Our relationship with people will always struggle if our relationship with God is disconnected. Now, apart from God, we are pretty selfish people. We will eventually make the decision that's going to hurt others. It's going to promote self, But if we stay connected to the source, we can live in the blessing of relationship. Now, the next part of this plan for relationships is growth. There we go. Verses 6 through 8. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So, pruning is the process of getting rid of things that don't promote growth. In verse 2 that we read earlier, Jesus says the Father cuts off branches that don't produce fruit. And then he talks in verse 6 about what happens to those branches. If you don't remain in Jesus, you are like a branch that withers and dies. Now, relationships are supposed to grow, right? They don't just stay where they are. They're supposed to grow. Verse 8 says that bearing much fruit is to my Father's glory. And in order to bear fruit, you first have to grow. Do we have any gardeners in the room? A handful of us. Okay. Well, hopefully the rest of you know elementary knowledge of plants. Wouldn't it be so much easier if you could just put a seedling in the ground and they just start bearing fruit? Like, I sprout my tomato seeds, or I buy my tomato seedlings, I put them in the garden, the next morning, tomatoes. How cool would that be? As much as we can wish that that was the process, God did not design it this way. The reality is, if you plant seedlings, you're waiting 60 to 90 days to be able to pick tomatoes. There's a process. And just like this analogy that Jesus is using with the vine and the branches and the fruit, there is a process to growing in community or growing in relationships. Could you imagine just meeting someone for the first time and instantly they become someone who holds you accountable and who you can rely on for anything and someone you can confide in and feel safe with? Of course not, right? That takes growth. It takes time to build that kind of trust. It takes going through some stuff together. Think of your best friend in the whole world. You probably have lots of stories of all the stuff you've been through together. Most of them are probably pretty funny, right? Some of them are probably pretty painful. But the relationships that you can just pick back up with, like you were never apart, are with people who you went through stuff with. People who you have invested lots of time and energy into. People you've built trust with. That is how growth happens. It's a process. And again, this is a plan designed by God. He's using the difficult stuff to help our relationships flourish, just like the gardener prunes his plants so that they can grow stronger. Relationships are a blessing, even the pruning, even the hard stuff, because it causes growth. And notice, Jesus, God in flesh, right? This is God in human form talking to us through this passage. He's using this plant analogy. That means if we don't see immediate results in our relationships, that's okay, right? Growth takes time and intentionality. So, the next part of our process that Jesus lays out, I'm calling the staying power. This is verses 9 through 13. It says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." So, we love because Jesus loved us. Through relationship and growth, we can remain in that love. Love is what makes our relationship able to remain or to have staying power. Maybe you've caught yourself saying, "Why do I even bother with this person?" Anybody ever been there? Don't name them, right? They could be in the room. Don't say it. Have you ever asked yourself that? Why do I even bother? Well, the reason is because you're loving them out of the love that you're receiving from Jesus. So what is this? How does this love give us staying power? I'm really glad you asked. Love itself has staying power. Love isn't a feeling, right? If love was a feeling, we would all be in big trouble. How often do you love your spouse? All the time, right? All the time. How often do you feel like loving your spouse? Brownie points. Brownie points, Austin. We're gonna pretend that Madison's not got him at the pressure point behind the neck. Just kidding. How often you feel like loving your spouse is less than all the time, right? Could be 90%, that's great. But like, it's not all the time. We would be in big trouble if love was just a feeling. In verse 10, Jesus talks about love as an action rooted in obedience. He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. In verse 11, he says, this produces joy, which is also not just a feeling. So he lays out how to love through this relationship, through his relationship with the Father, and then his relationship then to us. And then in verse 12, he gives us an action item. Love each other as I have loved you. And that's a pretty broad statement, right? Love each other as I have loved you. Until you read verse 13. And then he says, lay down your life for your friends. That's a pretty specific statement. That's pretty hard. That's a hard one to stomach. This means that relationships with staying power are not self-serving, but self-giving. It means that for relationships to stand the test of time and be what God planned them to be, both parties are loving out of sacrifice and not out of gain or self-benefit. This is how Jesus loved the disciples. He didn't love them because they were easy to love. They were a bunch of knuckleheads. In fact, he knew that they would deny him, that they would doubt him, that they would betray him, that they wouldn't understand what he was talking about most of the time, that they would ask super annoying questions, right? He knew all of that going in, and he still went into relationship with them anyway. He even literally laid down his life for them. This is how we remain in relationship, obedient, sacrificial love. This is what we're called to as Christ followers, picking up our cross, laying down our lives. Most likely not literally, but living a life that puts others' needs before our own. That is what makes godly relationships work and work for the long term. So God's plan for relationship is for us to not leave them. All right, so that's staying power. The next and last part of this passage that we see is the fruit. This is verses 14 through 17. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. So, Jesus is inviting us into friendship, not just with himself, but with others. This isn't a servant and master relationship. When we live with this type of connection of Jesus, it's a friendship. And since we are friends of Jesus, we share his mission. And his mission is getting all of creation back into relationship with God. Because what is God at his core? Loving relationship. So, our mission is to have relationships sourced by God that grow and remain and then bear fruit. In verse 16, Jesus tells us to go and bear fruit. Now, obviously, you and I, there's been a lot of plant talk this morning, you and I don't grow apples out of our fingers or tomatoes out of our ears or bananas out of our hair or any other sort of fruit. Now, how awesome and convenient would that be, right? Forget your lunch, no problem. Got a banana, you know what I mean? The problem is it's not true. So what is Jesus talking about? What is our reality with these fruits? Well, Paul lets us in on those, and again, you all know it, right? Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. So, the real test to all of this is pretty easy. Are your relationships producing these fruits? Are the relationships you're in producing love and joy and peace and patience, or are they producing bitterness and gossip and resentment and anger and tension? It's easy to see relationships that are producing fruit. It's not so easy to get to the point of producing the fruit. Does that make sense? It's easy to see the fruit. It's hard to produce it. The same reason vast majority of people buy their fruit instead of producing it, right? It's much easier to just walk in and look at it and grab it and go home. Relationships that produce fruit require staying connected to the source. They require pruning and growth and going through hard things. They take staying power, and they take co-missioning with Jesus. So, as we close today, I just have a few questions of application here. Are you loving people for the mission of Jesus? Not because you like them and they're easy to be around or fun people, which is all good things, but because you are loved by Jesus first and you're called to love others. Are your relationships flowing out of that mission of Jesus? Love from the Father to Jesus, Jesus to us to others. Second thing, do your relationships reflect God's heart and God's grace? Are you loving people even when it gets difficult? Or are you just leaving, just not texting them back? Well, we'll get to it sometime. Are you loving people in the midst of being mistreated? Are you picking up your cross? Are you laying down your life? Even when people are mistreating you, are loving sacrificially? And then third, are your relationships producing fruit, or are they producing resentment, bitterness, anger? God's plan is to bring all creation back to Him. And He's blessed us with the gift of relationship to do that. So let's recognize this blessing of relationship this week. Let's live in the type of relationships that will produce fruit. Let's stay connected to the source where the power to live in relationship flows from. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you. Thank you for relationship. I could not imagine a God who was not relational. It's so good to know that we are made in your image, and your image is loving relationship. It's also good to know that we need your help in this, as we fall short so often. So God, we ask for your help. We thank you for this blessing, and we ask for your help to live it out this week. As we go about our lives this week, as we deal in all the relationships that we have, at work, at home, with friends, hobbies, whatever the case may be, that we would be loving sacrificially, that we would be staying connected to the source so that we can love people well. Now that we would use the hard things as growth and not just as an escape. We thank you for this process. We thank you for reminders and things as simple as plants. God, help us to just know you. Help us to stay connected to you, and help us to love people out of the love that is flowing in the most important relationship we can have. We just thank you, and we praise you, and we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our worship team is going to sing a song this morning. If you felt God speak to you in any way and you want to respond, the altar is a great place to do that. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, this is a great day to do it. Would you stand with us and use this time to reflect and worship and respond?